Okay, we're picking up from the top of Samech Tes Amud Aleph, the very top of the Amud Shama Avia. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'il Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Sharon Aliyah. So just to chazer, we discussed four of the five cases that we're going to mention, we're really bringing the Raya from the Braisa in the fifth case, but let's just chazer all four of the previous cases again. The first case is if the husband dies without doing Hakama. So because either he didn't hear about it, we gave an example, or because we did Hafara, or because he heard about it and he was silent. He died in the middle of the day, so the whole day didn't pass where he was able to be make him the neder. So in all those examples, the halacha is that the right to be able to be made for the neder goes back to the father. Then in the second case we had, what happens if the father does a far and he died before the husband heard about the neder? So there we assume that the ability to go and be made for the neder does not transfer in that case to the husband. Then the third case is if the husband is Mayfair and he died before the father heard about the neder. So that case, it would go back to the father. That was case number three. Case number four is if the husband is Mayfair and the father died without hearing about the neder. So in that case, also, it would not transfer to the husband. We see the husband is generally weaker. We're going to discuss, really, the ikar point is going to be the fifth case right now. What happens? It's Shama Avia, Veferla. The father heard about the neder, and he was made for the neder. Velo yispika baal lishmoa ad shemes. And in this case, the husband wasn't able to hear about the neder until he died. V'chozer ha'ava mefer chelkel shabal. The lach over here is that the father repeats, we're going to see what this means in a moment, repeats it, and he's able to be made for the portion of the husband. So in this case, the father heard about it, and he was made for it. He's still alive. So his hafara is totally fine. So when the husband dies, the father only needs to be able to be made for the portion of the husband. So that's what it means. The Ran points out the lashon is a little bit lomaduk when it's the lashon of chozer mefer chelkel shalbal. The father's repeating and removing the portion of the husband. The Brace is using the chozer not to tell us that he's repeating again what he had done previously, but rather it's telling us that he's actually removing the neder of the husband. He's removing the husband, and that's able to be done after the husband dies. And now the Gemara points out, though Amar Ibn Nasan, so according to the Braises, the Ibn Nasan says, hein divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai are of the opinion of this halacha, that when the father is able to be made for the first portion and the husband subsequently dies, the husband's portion is able to go back to the father's jurisdiction and is able to be made for the neder. That is the opinion of Beit Shammai. However, Beis Hillel hold differently. Beis Hillel amrim ein yachol lehefer. The Beis Hillel is under the understanding that the husband's portion is never able to be transferred. Therefore, the father cannot just simply repeat the process and be able to be made for the neder. The Beis Hillel is saying they're stuck, you're not able to be made for the neder. So the Gemara now, Lechora, is going to bring a raya, whether we assume that the idea of Megah's guy is the very first question that we had. Is he cutting away half the vow when you're made for your half? Or is it Miklash Kalash? So the Gemara is going to assume right now that this actually is in fact a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So it says the Gemara now, Shmamina le Beis Shammai, Megah's guy is, that according to Beis Shammai, when a husband or a father, any one of them, is made for his portion of the neder, he's cutting away half the neder. So therefore, in this case, when the father is removing half the neder, his half is completely gone. So the husband half is still fully and full intact. It's still considered a neder according to the Ran. It's something which has to have a chalos. It's something which has to be substantial. So that half which is substantial is able to be placed back to the father. And that's why Beis Shammai hold that he's able to then remove the vow. He's able to remove the vow through Afara because that it has substance. The other half of the vow is fully intact. And that's able to be transferred back from the dead husband back to the father who's still currently alive. However, Lebis Hillel, Mikla, Kalish, whereas according to Beis Hillel, he is only weakening the entire neder. And since he's only weakening the entire neder when he was able to be made for his portion, so the whole neder is considered like a low-level neder right now. It's something which is not substantial. It's not substantial enough to be able to transfer it back to the father's domain, back to him, and therefore the father in this case would not be able, according to Beis Hillel, be able to be made for such a neder. That is the shita of Beis Hillel. The Ran asks a very strong question over here. The Ran asks a question really in the previous Amud, but he asks it, it's very relevant over here. How is this different than what we mentioned in the first case and in the third case? In the first case, if you remember, the husband died without doing Hakama, because either he didn't hear about it, or because he heard about it in his Mayfair, or because he heard about it silent. In that case, we assume that the father is able to be made for the neder. And similar to the case, the third case, if the husband is made for and he died before the father heard about the neder also goes back to the father. So how is this halacha able to be different? Why would Beis Hillel make a difference between these two? It's a very strong question that the Ran is asking over here. How is this any different than case 1 and 3, where we do assume the Kulei Alma you're able to transfer? Why would Beis Hillel agree to that case? So The Ran answers that Beis Hillel would agree that when the neder is able to go back to in those cases, because the husband did in fact weaken the neder, and a chanami, we're assuming that according to Beis Hillel, it is miklash kalish, he weakened the entire neder, but when the husband, in that case, when the husband dies, we're assuming that the neder goes back to its full strength. That's the ukimta the Ran has to make, and therefore we're assuming when as soon as the husband dies, it goes back to be a full-fledged neder, and it's transferred from the reshus of the husband back to the reshus of the father. In the last case, why is it the last case going to be different? Why do we assume the same thing? In the last case, the father who was the one who weakened the miklash kalish, he's still alive. So there's no him dying. He's not dying. The husband's dying. So the husband is not able to remove the status of that weakened neder and make it back into a stronger neder according to the Ran, because the husband is not the one who was mefer in the first place. The father was mefer. So that's why this case is fundamentally different than case number one and case number three. Very important, Ran, to explain the difference why Beis Hillel hold this case is miklash kalish, but that's, I think, a very good shot in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Shmamina, that accordingly we see from over here, that it's machlokas, it's going to be machlokas, whether we assume a neder is miklash kalish or megas gaya. So according to Beit Shammai, so when, and going back to our previous case, let's say the arus is able to be megas gaya, he's going to be leaving over the second, when we gave the example where you had two kizesim, so he fully is removing his half, and she eats both of them, she's going to be chayav malkus, according to Beit Shammai. However, according to Beis Hillel, we're assuming that the entire neder is miklash kalish, so then according to them, you would not be receiving any malkus, because the entire neder is considered a lower level neder that she's violating, and therefore she would not be chayav malkus. That is the Shmamina, that according to Beis Hillel, you would not be chayav malkus. Now we've answered our question. Now the Gemara is going to list a series of questions of Rava and Rabba. Interesting questions similar to this. And now the Gemara asks, by Rava now, yesh sheila behekim. Is there going to be as Aran points out, this is obviously talking about the very same day that you heard about it, because let's say, right, the Shela is the Hekim is where the husband or the father confirms the neder. He says, let her make this neder, it's fine with me. So now, all of a sudden, like an hour later, he says, wait a second, I don't want her to keep that neder, it's going to be terrible for me. So he wants to be made for that Hakamna. He wants to do a Tara, rather, on his agreement of the confirmation of the neder. Is he able to do so or not? So the Ran points out, though, that this is only going to be where that was obviously taking place on the same day, where he regrets it. If on the same day he heard about it, let's say, right? He's making the neder, and then the next day he regrets it, and he says, oh no, I want to do a tara from that previous day. You can't do that, the Ran says. That's ridiculous, because the whole idea, the pasuk says, biyom shamo. Biyom shamo. So if the day he heard about it, he still wants to keep it, so that entire day, that 24-hour period where he hears about it, or maybe that day period of ends by Shia, that day that he hears about it, he no longer wants to be, he wants to keep that neder, so then he no longer, the next day, according to the Ran, pashut, he would not be able to be, this question would not be the question of the Gemara. The question is only when, the very same day, he regrets it. Like an hour later, let's say, before the Shkira, he still regrets it. He wants to do a Tara on his Akama. Is that able to be done or not? So the Gemara says, oh, ain't Sheila Bahakim, or is there no such thing as a Sheila on the Hekim or not? We're not able to do such a thing on the Hekim. Because even though the confirmation of a Neder is not a Neder, it strengthens the Neder's Isser. So do we say, therefore, it's similar to the neder itself? That's basically the Gemara's question, or not? That's really the fundamental question over here. Oh, Ein Sheila Bahekim is really the lumdus behind it. Is it similar enough to the neder or not? So the Gemara says, Imtim Tzalomar Yeh Sheila Bahekim. Now, if you're going to tell me that there is such a thing as a Sheila Bahekim, that you would be able to do a tara on your confirmation. So similarly, so the Gemara is going to ask, would we assume ye she'ela behefer? So then a similar question we could ask is that can you also do a she'ela on the fact that you wanted to annul her neder? You said you don't want the neder to be chal, so you did the hafar, the neder is not chal when you heard about it. Oh, in she'ela behefer, or is meaning, and then you say, you know what, let her keep that neder. I regret it. Let her keep that neder. So the very same day, according to the Ran, obviously the same day, can you undo your hafara, your removing of the neder? Can you do that as well? So the Ran points out, this is very difficult, because the idea of hafara, by definition, is something which obviously shouldn't be subject to be able to be annul it, because unlike something like confirming the neder hafara kama, it's strengthening the neder. Here, you're removing the entire neder. So why would you have a havamina that it should be chal? So the Ran points out, l'chora, the only way we could assume that it should be chal, you're right, in svara, in logic, it shouldn't be something which can be undone. However, the Ran points out, maybe because we have a hekesh on the Karan Gemara and Dafayan Vav, the Ran points out, Shani Acha, Damar Kra, Isha Kimine Vesha Farenu. So maybe I would have thought that since there is a a hayakish between the two, between removing the vow and keeping it. So maybe I would have thought in such a case that the halacha should be, you should be able to have a she'ela behafara. And the Gemara is going to end up answering anyway that pashut not. Tashma, damar, biyochanan, nish'alin alahekim. We can do a tara on the confirmation if it's the same day, as the Ram pointed out. Vein, nish'alin alahefer. However, we would not be able to do a hatara. We cannot remove the hafar, the original removing of that neder. We cannot undo that and then make the neder chal again. That's how Rabbi Yochanan held. So now the Gemara continues. By Rabba. Rabba, another question. Kayam lechi, kayam lechi. Upon hearing the neder, the father says, a double lashon, that I'm confirming it for you, I'm confirming it for you, I'm keeping the neder. So I'm keeping the neder, double lashon. V'nishal ala kama rishona mahu. So now he ended up regretting keeping the neder, but he said it to a double lashon. So the idea is, maybe the question is the following, that when I say that I'm keeping the neder two times, so obviously the first statement is what keeps it. The second statement means nothing. But maybe that second statement is be able to like mitlat tali, like it's holding, it's staying in the air, and potentially that statement, even though it means nothing right now, could mean something. How could it mean something? And this very case, if you do a she'ela on the first lashon that you said, that you're doing a she'ela, you regretted it, and you didn't want to keep the neder, so then at the end of the day, the second lashon will come in and keep your neder intact. That's the first side. And the second side is, no, since you said nothing, it didn't mean anything at the time that you said it. So the second side would say, no, poshut, that at the end of the day, this should not be chal, even after, when you do the hatara. The first one doesn't come back to life, this second statement that you had, and therefore it should not be chal. That's the second statement would say. The Karen Orange is wondering, has a pretty strong question over here. And according to the first explanation that we just said, that it's like holding in the air, so then isn't it pashut that when he is doing hatara on the confirmation, that he should just be doing the hatara on the second one also? So he only wanted to do the hatara on the first, so how could it be? What was the Gemara's question, Bechla? Like, so if he, in Echanam, according to the first side, as the moment he does the hatara though, he clearly meant that he didn't want to keep the neder, so then say the second statement also is invalid. So you have to make an okimta, like where he just didn't tell him that he said it twice or something like that. That's a little bit of a strong question though. So the question is very strong. Why would it even be a nafkamina? But that's what the Gemara is wondering. So the Gemara says we can bring a proof. Tashma. We can bring a proof from the following case. Dama Rava. Rava told us earlier, all the way back to Daf Yud Ches, the halacha over there was talking about the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that if a person makes a shvua, and makes two shvuas, like a person swears that he's not going to eat today, and then he swears again he's not going to eat today. So the halacha over there in the Mishnah was that if he violated that shvua, and he actually did in fact eat that day, he's only going to be chai of one. He's not going to be chai of two different isurin, and if it was b'shoge, right, bring a korban, he's not going to be chai of two different actions. We assume that he's going to be chayav only one. And yet we said, im nishal al rishona. However, even in that case, if you are able to do the atara, you're able to remove, you say regret making that shavua, you're able to remove the first shavua, shnia chala alav, the halacha is that the second one would in fact go back and take its full place, and you would still be usher to eat that for the duration of that entire day, even though it was not chal at all in the first pint. So what do we see from over here? As the Ran points out, lechora, we see that even though the time where you made your shvuah, and we're comparing that nadarim to shvuos, so even though the time where you made your shvuah, your statement was meaningless, we don't assume it's just gone. Therefore, since it's meaningless, it's gone forever. Rather, we assume that it was only meaningless at the time you said it, but it's mitlatali, like we suspend it in the air, we wait. It potentially could come back to life if you do a atara on the first statement, then in a chanami, we're going to say that your second statement would in fact come back to life and be chal. So here too, also, when it comes to the confirmation, if he says kem lachi, two times, and he uprooted only the first one, he did the nishalin ala hakama, he only did it on the first one, so the second one does come back to life, and therefore it would be chal, and you would have to do another hatara if you did this lashon. That's how the Gemara's maskana is right now. Now the Gemara is a very interesting question. We're going to need to explain a little at length over here. It's a complicated question. By Rabba, the following question Rabba asked: Kim lechi umufar lechi. If upon hearing the neder, the father or the husband said, "It's confirmed for you," and I'm also then mufar lechi, I'm removing it from you. So he used a double statement. Velo techol hakama elaim kenafar. And he continues and he says that the hakama, confirming of the neder, is only going to take place if the hafara takes in place. Mahu, what was his kavana over here? So this is the Rana explains a little bit at length over here what's going on. The Rana tells us the following: the person made the he made the hakama, the idea of the confirmation, he made it taloi. It was taloi on the fact that the hafara is also going to be able to remove, is also going to take effect. So it's impossible for the hakama to take effect mimanashach, in either way you say it, because if the hafara does not take effect, then the hakama also shouldn't take effect. And if the hafara does take effect, then by definition, you can't tell me that the hakama of keeping the neder is going to be able to take effect. So it's obvious to Rabbah that in that case, the hakama does not take effect in such a question. That would be pashut. His question really is only whether or not the hafara is taking effect. And his question is basically whether we understand his statement to mean that it is hakama lichi, it's a confirm for you, and then hafara lichi, as telling us it's two different things consecutively, or is it going to be something which is happening at the same time? Like it's simultaneous. So why does that, as the Ron points out, how does this help? So maybe he's saying that the two things are happening, if you assume that they're happening consecutively, so that would just mean that the hafara, the idea of the hafara, is going to be toloi on the hakama, on being able to confirm it. So just as he said, by the hakama, it's toloi on the hafara. And so basically all he's saying, according to this, is that he wants the hakama to be a prerequisite for the eventual hatara. And then if that's the case, so therefore we could understand that, we're assuming that it would be chal. Or we're saying the other way, that maybe he's understanding that it wants to happen at the same time. It's obviously impossible for it to happen at the same time. However, maybe if it's impossible to happen at the same time, so what he really wanted should be what should be the case over here. So clearly what he really wanted over here was that the hafara should happen. So that should be that the hafara should happen in the second side. So the second side is saying that it should be the hafara should be chal. The first side is saying maybe the hafara wouldn't be chal. That's the two ways to explain the chakira. Turning on to the next step, but now Tashma Miplugdir Remember Rabbi Yossi. We have a machlokas in Temura. So just to remember the chazva lachas of Temura, the lachas of Temura tells us that if a person has a korban which is designated as hektish, and you know he sees, oh wow, this is a really nice korban over here, I want to eat this meat. So I'm just gonna substitute this nice para. I'm gonna substitute it for a different one that's less quality or whatever it might be. So there's an Isser Deraisa, so the Torah tells us that it's an Isser, it's actually your Chayim Malkus for such a thing. And the Pasuk also tells you, Vahiyahu Tmuroso Yekoidish, that both as a penalty, Midaraisa, the Torah tells you that not only the Korban that you said was Hektish originally is going to remain in effect, but the one that you wanted to replace it with also gets the status of Hektish. That's the regular Halachas of Temura. So that's an easy case where he was trying to just, like we said, do it as an Ola or whatever my korban could be. The machlokas over here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is going to be dealing with an interesting question where a person has two, if he's saying, he's declaring the animal is going to be a tmura of an Ola and a shlamim. And in front of him was in fact a korban that was an Ola and a shlamim. So which one is going to be chal? So now the Mishnah tells us, Destan, Harezu Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlamim. So he says this animal is going to be designated as a substitute for an Ola, which is in front of him, and also a Shlam, which is in front of him. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Meir says, Harezu Tmuras Ola, dear Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir understands that when someone says a statement which is contradictory, and he says them one right after the other, so he obviously only wants for, if he's saying that, so in this case over here, according to Rabbi Meir, the Ola, which was said first, that's the one that's Chal. The one about Shlamim is going to be considered null and void, since the Shlamim cannot take effect already when you already have the Ola. And therefore, Meir is saying that we are Mevatel, his first Lashon, his second Lashon rather, and it's just going to be an Ola, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we can't take both statements seriously. Im lekachnis tekaven metchila. If we ask him whether he actually meant both, meaning you said something which is so to each other, what did you really mean? So if we assume that he really wanted to, let's say, maybe he had a change of heart in the middle. So he says, okay, there's two ways to understand it. Maybe his original intent was to make these contradictory statements, or maybe we're assuming, maybe it's actually you just changed your mind in the middle. So if he tells us that he really changed his mind in the middle, according to Rabbi Yossi, so when he started speaking, he meant to say that the animal should be a tmura of an ola. But he changed his mind in the middle of the statement, and he says, you know what, I actually want it to be a shlamin. So then, in that case, then the ola obviously is going to be chal, and the shlamim would be pashut void. However, if he tells us that really his original intention was to make these two contradictory statements, so then Rabbi Yossi says the following: Rabbi Yossi, im lekach niskaven mitchila, He really wanted it to be an ol and a shlomim simultaneously. You just can't. You can't physically say two things at once. Dvarav kayamim. The halacha should be that both his statements are going to take effect. So how do you have both their statements take effect? So that's the halacha that you'd be able to, you'd have to be near Ashistayev. You have to let it graze in the field. You're not allowed to use it because it's kachim. You wait till it develops a mum, which would then, a blemish, which would then possel it from bringing it as a korban. And then once you do that, you have to bring, you sell that animal and you remove its kedusha onto the money. And half the money you buy as a shlamim and half the money you'll buy as an olap. That is the shita of Rabbi Yossi. So what comes out over here? It follows that according to Rabbi Yossi, in a case where the husband says, kiyam l'chi, or the father, whoever it is over here, says, kiyam l'chi, umutar l'chi, he uses his lashon of, that it's I'm going to be confirming the neder, and then right afterwards saying mufar lachi. So even though you mention the fact that you're a kiyam lachi first, it doesn't tell us that the hafara should only take effect after the original kiyam, because it doesn't. Maybe he really meant to say both. So maybe it's impossible for. Maybe he meant to say both, and then what would happen is in the case of Rabbah where you say this lashon. So then we would assume that it's impossible for the hakama to take effect. So then the hafara would in fact take effect according to the version of Rabbi Yossi. However, according to Rabbi Meir, who understands that someone is saying two different statements in a row, it tells us that the first one is going to be chal, the second one not necessarily. So then it comes out that the hakama is going to be, he means to say that the hakama is going to take effect first, and then the hafara should take effect only afterwards. So then when you say this lashon, so it's impossible for that to happen at the same time. So we take the first lashon, and then it would come out, then you would not be able to be made for it. So the Gemara says, Avalhacha, so the Gemara says, that's the Dvar of Kayam, and that's what we're saying about Dvar of Kayam. So the Gemara says, Vafilu Rabbi Meir, lo kamar de lo amar lo tichal zu im chalazu. Even Rabbi Meir, who says that in general, when you have two statements which are said right after each other, which one contradicts the other one you just said, de lo amar lo tichal zu elaim kin chalazu. He says that only when this one should not take effect unless the other one takes effect. However, over here, this is different. Avalhacha, in the case of Rabbah, the Amr lo tichol akama elim kin chala afara, where the confirmation is going to not take effect unless the afara takes effect, he's telling us that the main concern that the afara should in fact take effect. So then, Rabbi Meir should say the afara should be chala, that in this case, the havamina was it wouldn't be chala according to Rabbi Meir. And the maskanas, though, even Rabbi Meir would agree in this case that the afara does in fact take effect. He would agree that the person did not mean that the hakama and the atara and the afara rather should take effect only in the way that you were said. Rather, he clearly meant in this case that he wanted first the akama to take effect and then the afara to take effect. So Rabbi Meir would agree that this statement should be able to be something which you can, which we meant should be hafara. That was the answer to this question. Now the Gemara goes weiter. By Rabbah. Rabbah asked another question. Kiyam mufar l'chi b'vasachas. You heard the neder, so either the father or the husband says that I'm going to confirm the neder and remove the neder. Which, again, he's telling us over here that this was done, he was indicating this case is why it's different than the previous one, because here you're clearly indicating that you wanted it to be done simultaneously. That's what Ran says. So you maybe would have the entire statement of Kiyam Lachi and Mufar Lachi, I might have understood that it should take effect before the actual hafara. However, so that's why this case is different than the previous one. That here we're telling us clearly it's indicating that it should happen simultaneously. So then what's the Lacha Mahu? So that what the Gemara is wondering over here, should it take effect or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Da'amar Rabba kol davar she'eno bezachar, ze afilu bevachas, bevasachas eino. So Rabba tells us that anything which is not going to be done, cannot be done consecutively. Rabba is talking about the halacha in Meseches Kedushin. If a person wants to marry two sisters simultaneously, so he says, Arei mekudesha le'ivat, right? Something like that. So the halacha is, you're not allowed to marry two sisters, because that would be Kiddushi Erva, and it's not Tofis. It's not Tofis. It's a Gary Kiddushin and Toshin B'chayav Krisus. So therefore, you can't marry two sisters. So if you do so, then maybe the first one should be called, the second one shouldn't be. Rabba tells us, no, that's not the case because you tried to do them consecutively, and so therefore, doing them it's done simultaneously, and each one is preventing the other one from taking effect. So the Gemara is assuming that the same thing should be with our case. So what's the same thing in our case? In our case, with the halacha is that the idea of the hakama, of the confirmation, is done before the hafara. And so then in that case, it's impossible for them to be done successively. So therefore, neither of them should take a place when done simultaneously. And then, in that case, we would assume that the neder is not mufar and also not mekam. It's not that he hasn't kept the neder, and at the same time also he hasn't removed the neder either. So it's in the same status that it was right before he heard about it. That's the sheet of the Ran. No one seems to argue about that, but we'll go with the sheet of the Ran. Okay, Mirtzah Shem, we'll pick up by Rabbah, because it's a little bit of a long question going on to the next Talmud. We'll go pick up with there Mirtzah Shem in tomorrow's daf.